Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you guys tonight. I'd like to invite you to turn your Bible to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua. We're going to be continuing this evening something we started a few months back, going through the Bible in song. Through the leadership of Moses, God began fulfilling the Abrahamic promises by first rescuing the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And then from Egypt, Moses led them to Mount Sinai, where he gave them the law and then made them a great nation. Then after a 40-year hiccup, where an older, unfaithful generation of Israel died off in the wilderness, wanderings, a newer, more faithful generation, battle-hardened, are ready for the fulfillment of the second promise made to Abraham, and that is taking the land of Canaan for their own. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses goes on to meet the Lord, and a faithful Joshua now takes the helm. And Israel now stands on the banks of the Jordan River, ready to inhabit Canaan, to free it from the iniquity of its pagan populace, casting a wishful eye on the blessings that await them there.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, and dwell with Jesus evermore. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns and scatters night away. We will rest in the fair and happy land, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
In Joshua chapter 1, God reaffirms, his promise to Joshua that he will indeed give them Canaan's land. In Joshua 1, beginning in verse 6, he says the following: "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." It was important for the leader of God's army to demonstrate strength and courage, because the enemy that they would encounter would be numerous and the journey would be long. Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt so afraid that you would say to yourself, "I just can't do it"? Or maybe you're there now. God knows that there are going to be times in our life when we feel afraid to move forward or to do something that is outside of our comfort zone. He knows the paralyzing power of fear that keeps us from doing the things that we know that we should be doing. And yet, in spite of all this apprehension we experience from time to time, God would say the same thing to us as he said to Joshua: "Be strong and courageous. The Lord God is with you wherever you go."
Be strong, you host of the Lord, rise up for the battle and gird on your swords. The land of his promise is yours now by right. Take all forth to the fight. Be strong and conquer the foe. The Lord God is with you wherever you go. Be strong, through God you will win, though great be the armies of error and sin. Your captain will lead you to conquer the land. His arm cannot fail you, and they cannot stand. Be strong and conquer the foe. The Lord God is with you wherever you go.
One of Joshua's first tasks in Joshua chapter 2 was to send men just beyond the Jordan to spy out the city of Jericho. The king of Jericho finds out about this and seeks to kill them, but they end up successfully hiding in the home of a harlot by the name of Rahab. When the coast is clear, Rahab brings the men out from their hiding places, and she says the following to them in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And she then asks the men to spare her life and the life of her family from the approaching battle. And the men do agree to spare her, and they are let down on a rope outside the wall where they're able to escape back to their camp and let the people know that Jericho is prime for the taking. You know, Rahab never saw with her eyes all the wondrous things that God had done, but she heard about it. And that hearing produced a faith that led to her salvation. On the contrary, an entire generation of Israelites who saw with their own eyes what the Lord had done in the wilderness perished. And I think that's an amazing thing, to see such a great example of Romans 10:17 at work, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And while we may never understand as Christians why it works this way, God knows that true faith is what produces true faith better well than we do. So let us all strive to be like Rahab in that respect, to walk by faith and not by sight.
No. No, so me. We look at things we cannot see, eternal things above, where Christ our Savior ever lives and intercedes above. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home above. Our love is on the things above and not on things below. When Christ Christ, who is our life, appears His glory, we shall know. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home above.
Sorry, guys.
Heaven is a glorious place prepared by God the Father, Son. We hope to see Him face to face and hear the words, "Well done." We walk by faith and not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home on high.
When the men return to Joshua with the news that Jericho is scared, they begin making preparations. And Joshua chapter 3 tells us that they first cross over the Jordan on dry land, and God intervening for them in much the same way that He did at the Red Sea. And then in Joshua chapter 4, they are commanded to build a memorial of stones at the very place where they crossed, so that all future generations may inquire about it and be told all the great things God had done. And then in Joshua chapter 5, they're circumcised, and because the land is so plentiful, God stops the manna, and they're able to observe the Passover from the very produce of that land. We then read the following in Joshua 5, beginning in verse 13, that it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." This means that the battle they would fight would not be fought by Israel alone, but with the captain of the Lord's host on Israel's side. Now had come the time for them to sound the battle cry, to rouse the soldiers, and to rally around the banner.
No soul. Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. O Thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by Thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory won, may we wear the crown before Thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, onward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Well, breaching a walled city typically required a siege, a feat that could last months and even years. But when Israel arrived at Jericho and the people of that city shut themselves in the gates, God told them to do something else. In Joshua 6, beginning in verse 3, he tells them, "You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. And also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead." This process would have certainly sounded strange to the Israelites, but then again, God's ways are not man's ways. And so when by faith Israel obeyed God, as he instructed, those walls came tumbling down. And Israel marched straight up into that city and took it and killed every single pagan inhabitant and burned it to the ground. You know, what seems impossible with man is always possible to God when we activate his great power by our faith. What walls do we as Christians sometimes build up in our lives to keep us from conquering what is absolutely possible by faith in Jesus Christ? And if we too could have the faith that Joshua and Israel had, could God likewise cause all of our personal walls to come tumbling down?
If you would, let's stand for this song.
The Lord told Joshua to go to Jericho and to march 7 times around. He followed faithfully the blessed Lord's command, and the walls came tumbling down. Yes, the walls came tumbling down, Joshua. Trusting in the power of the blood, and you hope to wear a crown, go forward quickly and obey the holy word. Walls of doubt will tumble down. Yes, the walls came tumbling down, Joshua. Come to him today, turn from this vain world's renown. If you will follow him in faith like Joshua, walls of sin will tumble down. Yes, the walls came tumbling down, Joshua.
Before Israel conquered Jericho, God had commanded the following to them in Joshua 6 and verse 17. He said, "The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Then in verse 18, he said, "But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." However, a man by the name of Achan disobeyed God, and he took some of the values from Jericho because God, causing God to curse Israel's efforts going forward. And they lost a great battle against their next opponent, Ai. Joshua was perplexed by this, and he wanted to know from the Lord why he would allow such a great victory against Jericho, followed by such a great defeat against Ai. So he prays to the Lord, and the Lord reveals to him that someone in the camp had taken items from Jericho that were under the ban. Achan was eventually exposed as the trespasser, and to check the sin, God commands that he and his household be put to death. Sin not only keeps God from being able to have a relationship with us, but it also prevents God from being able to bless us in our day-to-day efforts. Achan let his greed get the best of him, and like all sin, it didn't just hurt him, but it hurt those who were within his sphere of influence. Since sin has that kind of devastating effect on all of us, let our prayer always be like the one in Psalm 139, for God to search us and to try us and to see if there is any hurtful way in us so that he can lead us in the everlasting way.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Set me free.
Once the sin of Achan was removed, Israel was ready to conquer the city of Ai. God had the Israelites divide into two groups so that they could set an ambush behind Ai. And once Ai was fooled into pursuing the forward group, the ambush worked. In Joshua 7, beginning in verse 19, we read that the men in ambush rose quickly from their place, and when he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it. And they quickly set the city on fire. When the men of Ai turned back and looked, behold, the smoke of the city ascended to the sky, and they had no place to flee this way or that. For the people who had been fleeing to the wilderness turned against the pursuers. When Joshua and all Israel saw that the men in ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and slew the men of Ai. The others came out from the city to encounter them, so that they were trapped in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they slew them until no one was left of those who survived or escaped. So not only was the city now free from its pagan inhabitants, but the children of Israel were allowed to occupy the city and take the plunder for themselves. I mean, what a dramatic turn of events. How was it that victory eluded Israel the first time, but was found so easily the second? Well, the difference is that the Lord was with them. And as Romans 8 and verse 3 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And since the Lord was with them, the fighting was done by the Lord, and the battle was His. And when we work with the Lord and allow Him to work with us, every single battle that we may fight in this life, no matter how intimidating that battle may look, belongs to the Lord.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory.
Back in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 29, you don't have to turn there, but as a reminder, what Moses had said to them is, it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Now, following the conquest of Ai, Israel sets out to do exactly that. In Joshua 8, beginning in verse 30, we read that Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel. As it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man had wielded an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. He wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel with their elders and officers and their judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests, who carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. Then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. I mean, what an appropriate time to do such a thing, seeing how much God would bless them if they kept his word. And you know, the same is true of us today. If we'll simply abide in God's word, if we'll trust that his ways are best, we too, like those Israelites, we'll prosper in every possible way.
Lord, thy word abideth, and our footsteps guideth, who its truth believeth, light and joy receiveth. When our foes are near us, then thy word doth cheer us. Word of consolation, message of salvation. Oh, that we discerning its most holy learning, Lord, may love and fear thee evermore be near thee.
Well, Israel's numerous victories spurred the Canaanites into forming a coalition against them. But one Canaanite nation decided to deal with Israel a bit differently. In Joshua chapter 9, beginning in verse 3, we read that when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins, worn-out and torn and mended, and worn-out and patched sandals on their feet, and worn-out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country, now therefore make a covenant with us." Then the Gibeonites are able to convince Israel that they do not live in Canaan, but were sent from a faraway place to make peace with Israel. And so in Joshua 9, verse 14, we read that the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask counsel of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. Well, eventually, Israel uncovers their deceit, but they couldn't kill him because they had already sworn an oath. And so from that day forward, the Gibeonites would become Israel's slaves. You know, it was never God's intention for the inhabitants of Canaan to become Israel's slaves where they could negatively influence the spiritual values of Israel. He wanted these pagans wiped out for their rampant sin. But the issue here, as we just read, is that Joshua didn't seek counsel from the Lord before swearing this oath to them. And I think that's a great reminder for us. Whatever difficult decisions need to be made on our part, we should seek the Lord's guidance. That though he doesn't speak to us as he did then in bygone days, he's still able to guide us through his word and the wisdom contained within, as well as through his providence.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, lead me till I want no more. Bread of heaven.
When the Amorite king of Jerusalem heard that Gibeon had allied with Israel, he and his coalition began to attack Gibeon. The Gibeonites promptly sent word to Joshua asking that they would come and help their servants. But though this was the first time that Israel would face such a coalition of nations, Joshua was not intimidated. And we read about that in Joshua chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. We read there that Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal, and the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. Then in verse 11, we read that as they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth-horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day whom the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ahijalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. There was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I mean, what a remarkable occasion to see the Lord so on the side of man that he's willing to answer man's prayers to alter the elements itself. And if he's willing to do that for them back in the Old Testament, imagine what he would be willing to do for us today by virtue of our faith.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. When my way I cannot see, seems there is no hope for me, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. When the host of sin assails, try and almost fail, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I trust, believe, obey, let His holy word hold sway, I know the Lord will make a way for me.
In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, Joshua had said that every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. And now Israel has fought several battles over the years and won many victories over its sinful inhabitants at the expense of much blood and sweat and tears. And having conquered much of the pagan populace, Joshua chapters 13 through 21 details the division of the land amongst the Israelite tribes. This was Israel's spoil of victory, the culmination of the second of the three promises made to Abraham, a promise that had been fulfilled to them through the grace of God. But this was only to be a temporary physical land, one that would not last because this earth is fleeting. But God has promised us under the New Testament an infinitely better land than even that of Canaan, saying through the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4 and verse 9, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. And this is the rest that we have to look forward to. This is our Canaan's land. That is a land that is beyond this land of parting, far beyond the losses, the taking, and the bereaving.
And also, beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, darkening this, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies a summer land of bliss. Beyond this land of toiling, sowing and reaping, far beyond the shadows, darkening this, and far beyond the sighing, mourning, and weeping, lies a summer land of bliss. Beyond this land of waiting, seeking, and sighing, far beyond the sorrows darkening this, and far beyond the pain and sickness and dying, lies a summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright. Land beyond, where is no night. Summer land, God is its light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss.
When Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had fulfilled their duty in helping their brothers fight for Canaan, they were allowed to return and settle on the east side of the Jordan River. And then we read something that happened in Joshua chapter 22, beginning in verse 10, when they arrived. It says that when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. And the sons of Israel heard it and said, "Behold, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the side belonging to the sons of Israel." And when the sons of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. But after sending a delegation there to inquire why they did such a thing, it turned out to have nothing whatsoever to do with idolatry. Rather, what these tribes were concerned about is they were concerned about their separation from the other tribes and how it might lead to them being denied a part in the Lord's inheritance. And so they had built this altar as a memorial to serve as a witness between the tribes of their right to come before God as their father. You know, it's easy for us sometimes to jump to conclusions when a potentially sensitive issue comes up. But let us never forget, as family, that 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7 says that love believes all things. And Proverbs 25 and verse 8 encourages us not to rush to judgment lest our neighbor put us to shame. Because we are family, and families are only as strong as the love that binds them together.
We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Part of the family that's on its way home. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel. together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through His precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 1, we read that it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, that Joshua was old and advanced in years. Once the young apprentice of Moses, Joshua is now an old man with few days remaining. And so he therefore calls the nation of Israel together to encourage them to continue to cling to God. And in Joshua chapter 24, he reminds them of everything that God had done for them from the time of Moses until now. And then he encourages them with the following words in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And after these things, Joshua died at the ripe old age of 110 years old. And they buried him in his territory in Ephraim. Joshua is a great reminder of a man who was willing to take a stand when few others, had the courage to do so. And tonight, if you are not a Christian, I want to tell you that you are in the majority in this world. You're ordinary. But if you will dare to stand like Joshua and serve the Lord with the minority, God will bless you just as much as He blessed Joshua. And so by way of invitation, do you have the courage tonight to declare that as for you and your house, you will serve the Lord? And the invitation is for you to come forward and to let us know how we can help you do so while we stand and while we sing this invitation song.